The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Today's Blitz Rewind starts now.
I would never dare have the audacity to challenge the greatness of Muhammad Ali and what people think about the man in terms of being a fighter. And I think one of the things that makes him so polarizing is that he was not a perfect man. I mean, you know, so we can identify with him in that way. But in terms of being a fighter, if you had to look at the people who he fought, but then you look at a fighter, a different weight class, of course, like Sugar Ray Leonard. Who would you say had the tougher road in their weight class? Sugar Ray Leonard or Muhammad Ali?
If you notice, people who try to take their takes and make a big deal out of it, the ratings are not good. People don't want to hear regurgitated responses to somebody else's created take. They want to hear you have your own take. They want to have something. They want to hear something new. They want to hear something fresh. In some cases, yes, they do. And we do it, too. Don't get me wrong. It's okay to do that. There's a lot of times where there's important stuff and there's stories that, and we got 20 stories on here that are something people said that might be worth doing. The point is, I think that it's all becoming that.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. One final day without A.J. He'll be back tomorrow. Got Team Hustletown here. If you want to get in. 713-780-3776 is your number if you want to get in. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter at Fred Fowler, at One Deep Media, at the underscore Jermaine, at producer T Scott. I just did it again. That's it. That's all I have to do today. I just
you
nailed
today,
that.
Brother. You are. Not the hip hop siren.
Is that what that is?
Yep.
What the hell is this, the Matt Thomas show?
I always do that to Barry, though.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
See, I guess I should. I guess I should listen more to some of the other shows. But I.
No, you shouldn't. Actually.
No, I mean honestly, I don't.
You mean our shows here?
Yeah. Okay. At the station. Oh, okay. No. I. You know, I've gotten now where. I listen to a lot of SiriusXM. When I do listen to anything, and it's nothing to do with sports, it's always. Well, I say nothing to do with sports. I listen to hockey a lot. Like the NHL channel, which I'm addicted to, which there's two guys that are on before we come in, and they're really not very good, and yet for some reason I love the show.
Which show is it?
It's I can't remember who it is. It's somebody in Boomer, Laughlin and Boomer. They're just goofy, and I love it. It's just nonstop hockey talking. They're talking about ridiculous things that you should never even get into, and I love it.
Man, you know what? I can't stop watching on television. I know we're talking about radio, but on television, I cannot turn off this. Yukon men on the animal planet. These guys have the toughest life in the history of the world.
Yeah,
man. I mean, you can't even believe that people
survival
live
in
like
Alaska
that
or something like
it's
that.
It's unbelievable, yeah. And they hunt everything. They kill every single animal you could think of. But that's the way they earn a living.
Are you guys into Naked and Afraid?
Nah,
no,
it's not for me.
I don't like that show, man. I can't do that one. I don't know, it doesn't even make sense. But why do they need to be naked?
I don't know.
To deal with nature. I mean, now there's a new deal where they got a herd of humans crossing the Serengeti on foot with no weapons.
What?
Yeah, it's like 17 of them, man. That's a pretty good show. But
my son got me into watching it 60 days in, where they take random normal people and they put them in jail for 60 days just so they could see what it's like. My 13-year-old got me into it. I have no idea how it happened, but we started watching it. It's a pretty good show.
Fred, you were just saying that we need to do a prison show.
No, I want to do a prison show.
Yeah.
We got to make this happen.
See, I could do the jail time, though. I would run for, like, president of the cell. Yeah, I'd be the guy.
I don't think it works that way, Fred. That was the most white thing you could ever say in life, bro.
I'm going to run for president.
This man didn't lost his damn mind.
Exactly. Yeah. We're gonna have some new rules.
That's
here.
That's not how jail works, Fred. That's not how jail works.
Don't end up like the gay snake.
Yeah.
No. I'd be on the other end of that one, because I'd be cell president. I'd be picking who had to spend the night with me. Blitzer Jake asking, have you released your Belmont Stakes analysis yet? I have not. I will have it tomorrow. Hopefully, I don't know that I'm going to actually write anything on this one, but I probably will. And somebody was also asking, are you going to do the whole card or just the Belmont? Probably the Belmont by itself. I can tell you right now, just in case I don't get to it, because honestly, I don't want to make excuses, but I am just very, very busy with a couple of big-time projects right now that are outside the station, and I will try to get something written on the Belmont, but I love Destin and sudden breaking news in some form or fashion. I'm going to beat Exaggerator. I'm going to hit you a really nice trifecta. At the very worst, I'll tweet out some trifecta plays, but I feel pretty good about this one. Not as good as I felt about the Preakness, and better than I felt about the Derby. And then also Best Bar in Houston for NHL tonight. Maple Leaf is my favorite, but I have to tell you, it's also steak night, and there's like a million Penguins fans, and you will not get a place to sit. I hate to say it because I love going there, but it's going to be packed. So if you like really packed bars, that'll be your place. That live sports bar that we were at last week downtown, which is terrific, they'll have it on, and if you ask them, they'll put the sound up. And coaches in Midtown will have it on. And then Revelry on Richmond, where we were at the other day. That's really good, too.
I'm recommending guys put their money on Breaking Wind in the Freaknik. No, just kidding. I want to ask you something about gambling.
What the hell? Okay.
No, real talk. I never knew this about, and I always want to ask you this. How did you, like, really get into the gambling culture? Because I know to follow the races and things is one thing, but then to get involved with the understanding of it, you know, the betting side and all that. I mean, how did all that start for you?
Well, my grandfather actually had quarter horses when I was growing up, so I was around them.
Oh, okay.
I've told this on the show before. We grew up very weird. We grew up in Lamarck, which basically it was not a great place to grow up. There was a lot of violence. There was a lot of stuff going on.
I know Lamarck.
Yeah, and then my grandparents had a farm in Hitchcock, which was basically near, right on the border of Hitchcock mm-hmm. and Santa Fe. So we'd go to that farm all the time, and he had horses, and that's where I kind of got the horse bug. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, it was kind of weird. That's why I'm half redneck, half Arab, and, you know, that grew up in Lamarck, Texas. But when I went to L.A. to try to be a rock star, I wound up spending all my time out at Hollywood Park and handicapping the horses. Well, during the day, and then I didn't go to class. I'd go to Hollywood Park, I'd play some poker, and then at night I would play in a band. And for some reason I just had an affinity for it, so I kept studying it and took in as much as I could. And by the late 80s, I was really good at it. And it's something that, it's like poker, it's just something I kind of took to. And so as soon as I did, I learned everything I could about it.
Have you ever like just solely lived on your gambling revenue?
Yes, twice. It's no fun. It is... There have been, once I had to play poker for about a year to pay the bills, and once I played horses for a year. Hated it.
Which one were you more successful at, poker or the horses?
I had bigger scores on the horses simply by the nature of it, but I had more steady money from the poker. Like, I had one hit that I split with a guy that was $72,000 on the horses, and the biggest I ever did on poker was about $18,000. But I also was more steady money.
It was more consistent.
Yeah. Okay. But I don't. Mm-hmm. Man, I can't handle it long term because the strain mentally of not having a regular check. See, now this is why it's perfect. I got a regular check that pays the bills. Everything else is fun.
Yeah.
So,
I was always curious how you got that, you know, that immersed into that culture, because it's not something that you just like. I got a couple of uncles that you know, they grew up on the horses out in L.A. and that was all they did. I mean, that's how they lived off of that for years, mm-hmm. built beautiful homes and bought trucking companies, and then there was nothing.
Well,
then it came back, and it was weird, man.
Michael, if you're going to tweet a photo of me, don't get it when I'm kind of at a weird angle. It makes me look fat.
Is it the old rock and roll photo?
No, man, he's got me at an angle where I'm kind of sitting weird, and it looks like I got this giant gut, which, you know, I'm a little sensitive about because I worked very hard to get rid of it. Yeah, you know, no offense, I love having you here, but if you're going to tweet out photos of me, I have to approve them before you do it. You made me look like an absolute slob here. This is the worst photo of me I've ever seen in my life. And it's just the angle because I'm kind of like leaning like this. God, I look like I'm 400 pounds in that photo. Dude, not cool.
Did you get my bald spot?
No, he didn't get you in there.
Oh, okay, cool.
But, yeah, I mean, take another one. That's fine. Just show it to me before you do that again. That, man, that was brutal. No, my God, I look like... That is the ugliest photo of me that's ever been out there publicly.
Did you look like you were on the receiving end of the gay snake?
Dude, the gay snake would run from me. The snake would be like, oh.
That's a bad photo.
Oh, God, it's off. I do not look like that, for the record. Not cool. All right. You know what? I'm going to give something away, simply because now I'm depressed. Win free gas courtesy of the new AMC original series, Ride with Norman Reedus. Premiering this Sunday at 9 Central, follow The Walking Dead star and his weekly riding companion as they hit the open road, exploring local biker culture and celebrating the best and brightest collectors, mechanics, and craftsmen, I think, around the country. Don't miss a series of Ride with Norman Reedus, Sundays at 9, only on AMC. Caller 15. Okay, now that we're done with the read, does that not sound like the strangest thing in the world? Is it just worded that way, or is it?
No, Norman Reedus.
I've seen a preview
awesome
for the show. It looks like a cool concept, but yeah, that's a really badly written.
Well, what do we expect? All right, we're going to take a quick break. It's the Blitz on ESPN iSub5.
Set your clock and grab your jock.
This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number if you want to get in. I'm sorry. I don't think I was overreacting to seeing a horrifying photo. That's all. Caught me off guard. All right, so this is just for Craig. You a wrestling fan?
Not at all, Fred.
Yeah. Right here, buddy.
Oh, you are? Okay, hey, good. Yeah. We're about to ruin Jermaine's life here.
Oh, boy.
So I don't know if you're familiar with this. BG East Wrestling?
Nope.
Yeah, there's all these little wrestling things going on, right?
I'm not that hardcore.
This is an online market. Well, speaking of hardcore, it's an online marketplace for DVDs, streaming video on demand, and downloadable clips of wrestling matches that are intended to arouse the viewer.
Oh, boy.
There's a membership option called the Arena, which grants discounts and otherwise unavailable access to 1,000 pay-per-view video on-demand matches, including exclusive match content and holds clips, which I don't even want to think about, with 5 added each week. So basically, softcore wrestling pornography.
Oh, come on, man. No. Shame. Thank you, Tyler.
Dolph Danner, who is a professional wrestler. Are you familiar with Dolph?
Nope.
I'm not. I'm just saying.
This can't go well.
I should have asked him before.
This can't go well.
So here's my thing. This is what he says. Here's my thing, and this is why, like, it's not a big deal to me. It's going to happen either way as a professional wrestler. We're good-looking guys who are in shape, who wear tiny little trunks, and roll around with other good-looking guys who are in shape, covered in baby oil. So whether it's for BG East or it's for World Wrestling Entertainment, it's going to happen.
This is worse than the gay snake.
Oh, why? Is this like ruining your Santa Claus?
No, this is not ruining my Santa Claus. Trust me. Santa Claus was ruined for me with the wrestling a long time ago. I just like the entertainment factor of it.
But that's what you get for being a grown-ass man believing in wrestling.
I don't believe in wrestling. I like wrestling. There's a difference. Mm. You believe in it, you still think, oh, it's real. No, it's not real.
If they don't cover it on the evening news, it ain't a real sport.
Covered on ESPN.
They have over 100 active wrestlers on their roster.
They also cover poker on ESPN.
Exactly.
And hot dog eating contest.
True. There you go.
Well, they're not sports. They're legitimate competition games, but they're not sports.
I've seen pro wrestling on the cover of USA Today. I've seen pro wrestling on the cover of Sports Illustrated. It's pretty mainstream.
Yeah, you and Dolph enjoy it, then.
No, I'm not enjoying none of what Dolph Danner got to go. No, that's just ridiculous. Now, I tell you what, there's even one that's more ridiculous than this, Fred. There's a guy, some independent guy. I can't remember where it is or federation or whatever, but you can find video of this. He has an actual... He uses his piece as a maneuver. Somebody grabs his junk, and then he actually flips the guy by flexing his junk.
Okay, so this is very close to what we're talking about here.
Yes. They've taken it to a whole new low and a whole new level of ridiculousness.
I'm calling me
Uber. And I just can't get with it.
I'm calling me an Uber.
And what do you mean Uber? Get me. You got to get me right here. What the hell?
But he's not leaving.
No, but he'll get you somebody here.
This is ridiculous.
And you're going to get 50% off.
This is ridiculous.
Just use the code ESPN.
Ugh. Mm. I need a shower. Can we change the subject? This is nasty.
Hey, you know what? Now you guys know how I feel when y'all were talking about Jemele Hill.
Wait a minute. We're talking about softcore gay wrestling porn.
We can talk about whatever you guys want. I know you like to watch guys roll around in the ring and be all greased up and stuff, and I just thought I would share this with you, that apparently people have taken it to a different level.
Yeah, they've taken it to a whole nother level. Yeah. I mean, this is on... I'm having a hard time coming up with words for this, honestly.
Well, you shouldn't even try. We just go too far in this society. That's all it is, too.
You know what? Here's how
we take bad things and make it worse.
Here's how I would describe it, because people always, like AJ likes to make fun of people who like wrestling. I don't, because to me, some people geek out over wrestling. I geek out over Game of Thrones. It's the same thing.
I'm with AJ.
But you know what? It's entertainment, and if I'm going to geek out about a TV show with dragons and little people and lots of breasts, then I got no business making fun of people who like wrestling, right?
Yeah, I guess you got a point, because I'm definitely a Walking Dead guy, regardless of you checking out on the series.
So you tease me about liking all the dudes in trunks, and you like zombies?
No, it's the script, man.
But see, here's what this is.
Let's not go there, bro.
This type of wrestling is kind of like the Viper was. Viper was the coolest character in the world, but then he would have sex with anything.
Who's Viper? Is this a Game of Thrones character?
Not anymore, because his head
used to be.
Yeah.
He used to be.
Yeah.
I was so disappointed this weekend. I finally made up my mind to watch Game of Thrones. I was all set, ready to go. And I thought I could do it on Netflix. Realized I couldn't. My desktop is down. I just didn't want to watch it on my tablet. I was so disappointed, man, because you have to get your mind right to start a new series.
Yeah,
you
know? Definitely.
Because I tried to watch it initially at the same time while I was watching The Wire and The Sopranos, because I watched those two series at the same time.
That's just too much.
That's sensory overload.
That's sensory overload. Because when I started watching Game of Thrones, I made sure that was the only thing like I could dedicate myself to it and catch up on it and everything. And I'm glad I dedicated it to it. Trust me, you want to watch it by itself. You don't want to watch it.
I realized that real fast, like through two episodes, I was like, okay, I can't take this one and follow it with all this other stuff going on with The Sopranos and The Wire in the back of my mind. And I'm even watching it now, prepared to watch it anyway, I still have some concerns about it because there's so many characters. And I plan on falling back on Fred and Lamont to be able to kind of help me through it a little bit, you know?
See, but you know what? That's hard for guys like us because we're on season 6 now. Yeah. And it's funny. I got a friend who's watching Orphan Black and just got started on that. I think she's on like season 2, and she's texting me about stuff from season 2. It's like 4 years ago. I don't even remember. Yeah, so I'm not going to be able to help you till you get... Well, Game of Thrones is a little different. I can probably help you when you get to about season 3. But it's like people will tell you stuff and they're so far behind, and you vaguely remember it, and you don't remember where it was in the series or what else happened. So that kind of sucks. It's hard to do.
Let me know, because I just binge watched up to the current episode, So I'm still pretty current on the first few seasons.
So you still, yeah, okay.
Yeah,
I got
still
one more person
it.
To
yeah, I'm still
reference
up on it.
Here.
Yeah, it's, I mean, it, there's a lot of characters, but the good thing about Game of Thrones is that it's so well written and so well acted. They're going to, you think like you won't get invested in each character, each storyline, but they suck you into each character and they suck you into each storyline. And then next thing you know, you're hooked.
Well, I'm hoping so. It needs to be everything that I'm hearing.
There are a couple points where it almost Walking Dead-ed me, where it got to where, you know what, this is starting to drag.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The problem with Walking Dead is it did it 4 episodes in a row, and I kind of said, that's it.
Now, what
done.
Season did you check out on
season
Walking
4.
Dead?
Season 4.
It got slow.
And the final one I watched was the one, and it might have been episode 4. It's where the entire episode was, they're just walking and talking the entire time. And
I know which one.
Terrible dialogue.
About.
And it moved nowhere. It's basically like, oh, we can throw any crap on TV and everybody's going to keep watching it. And that's when I said, okay, I'm out. If this is what you're going to do, then I'm out.
But they redeemed themselves.
Well, people say that, yeah. But then apparently the season ender this year, when I'd said, all right, you know what, maybe I'll watch this year. And then everybody said, no, after the season ender, you don't want to watch it. It was terrible. So
when they introduced...
I don't know what they did. I just know that it was bad. So based on what everybody told me.
Oh, man, that is just – I disagree.
Y'all about to suck me in.
Man, I disagree.
Zombies.
I mean, somebody very, very significant got completely – not just the fact that they're dead. I mean, they got beat to a pulp.
Were they not sure whether they were dead or – no, wasn't it that main of a character, right?
Oh, no, it's going to be one of the main characters. It's definitely a main character.
Well, here's my problem, and here's why I really ejected. There wasn't a single character left that I cared about. None of them were interesting to me. I couldn't root for any of them. By then, I'm rooting for the zombies. And frankly, right now, I'm kind of rooting for the Night's King to kill off most of Westeros.
I didn't have no idea what you're talking about.
I'm rooting for the Night's King
I get it.
To kill off most of Westeros, because other than Tyrion, maybe Bran while he's downloading stuff.
Now, isn't Game of Thrones beyond the book now? And there, it's
oh yeah, it has. Yeah, it's well beyond the book. It got beyond the book last year, although it wasn't supposed to. So we don't have any idea what's going to happen.
It's still pretty interesting. They're still weaving certain stories, and you still have no idea where they're going to go up. And there's so many different fan theories about directions that things can go in, to the point where it's a whole nother subculture to theorize about what could happen in the next couple of seasons.
And the whole thing about geeking out over fan theories, and we were at a bar last night, and I was talking to some friends, and we're doing all these geeky Game of Thrones fan theories.
Yeah.
That's why I will never make fun of Wrestling Guy.
Yeah, I'm with you.
You know, because I make no bones about it. I am a complete, total nerd when it comes to this.
I'm with you, man. I mean, I'm Walking Dead, and I've morphed over to Fear the Walking Dead, the spinoff series.
Oh, wow.
I'm there, man.
I got to go throw up on break now. All right, quick. It's a blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz.
Yeah.
713-780. ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. If you want to get in, we'll take some phone calls. 2 segments left. What would you guys say biggest need, biggest concern in your mind? Start with Jermaine. For the Texans going into this year, let's eliminate the quarterback position. Because
offensive line.
Because we don't know. But, all right, so offensive line and why?
Because Dwayne Brown is coming off of a really, I won't say catastrophic, but a serious, serious injury at his age and at the most critical position on the offensive line. You just lost your center and your right guard. You're trying to replace them with career journeyman, backup veteran guys, and a rookie potentially. Xavier Suofilo needs to take another step forward. Towards the end of last season, he was more consistent. But you still want to see more out of a guy who was a back end of the first, you know, the first pick of the second round type of pick. And then you have Derek Newton, who came from a seventh round, you know, almost throwaway supposedly draft pick, and got himself a decent second contract, but has never really lived up to that contract as of yet. Simply because, in my personal opinion, they moved him around too much and didn't leave him at right tackle and let him play and develop there. And it's just too many holes at each position on that offensive line. And you just got your brand-new shiny toy quarterback. You just got your brand-new shiny toy running back. Who do they protect? Those two guys. That's why I think it's critical.
Craig?
That take sounds vaguely familiar.
Yeah, we've talked about this like a million times.
Yeah, I agree, man. I was just disappointed that the Texans didn't address the tackle position in the draft. Jermaine Ifedi was sitting right there for the Texans to take at the end of the first round. And they, you know, you go out and take Will Fuller, who, you know, may very well be just fine at some point. But in most years, Will Fuller is a late second round, early to mid third round guy. I wouldn't have taken Will Fuller at the end of the first round, but, you know, that's Bill O'Brien's pick. But I agree with Jermaine. The concerns with Dwayne Brown, quarterback position being so important to protect this new kid that has, what, seven starts, just haven't had the reps. You always want to be good on the edge. Ifedi is a swing guy. You needed a swing guy, somebody that could play either tackle or slide inside and play guard. And it was just so easy to make that value pick. But it would have been too – it would have made too much sense for Bill O'Brien to do the right thing in that regard. So,
I got to tell you, I would have thought that would have been a terrible pick there until the Seahawks took him. And I'm like, you know what? The Seahawks tend to do things right. I hate him. I just don't think he can play. I'm sure they'll figure out a way for him to play.
Ifedi?
Yeah.
I guess we watch a different tape.
But no, I'm telling you, I don't think the guy can play.
Here's the thing. This kind of goes back to our earlier conversation when we were talking about Travis
Johnson. Played from his freshman year.
In the draft picks and whatnot. Teams now have a chance where they can take chances on guys in that first round, and they don't have to severely pay for it by getting handcuffed with a salary cap. So to take a chance on a Will Fuller at the position where they got him, if he potentially turns into, let's just say, Deshaun Jackson type of receiver on the other side of Nuke Hopkins, that would be a, it'll pay off. But
let me ask you a question.
Go ahead, Fred. I was against the Fuller pick too. I thought their biggest issue was defensive end opposite J.J. Watt, and that's what I would have liked to have seen addressed. There were players there that were worth doing that.
They could have still addressed that. But I agree with you there, Fred. They could have addressed that. I was so hoping that they got their hands on Carl Nassib.
But
to the offensive line, yeah, Dwayne Brown's a concern, but Chris Clark's not a pig for a swing tackle. You've already got a swing tackle. He's going to be a better player than Ifedi is this year.
Okay, I'll buy that.
All right.
I'll buy
maybe
that
not long term.
Right, but as of right now, I won't argue that.
Okay. With you.
Yeah. Now I don't know what the hell Xavier Suafilo is. I mean by now. To me, if this guy does not turn into a player this year, he's a bust. There's no way around it. I love Nick Martin. I don't know that he'll be ready right away to be a quality center, but I love that pick. And if not, I think, you know, Bergstrom, Mance, they like a lot. Those guys could fill in. I don't think you're great there.
Bergstrom's a backup, man.
Yeah, he is.
Mance kind of scares me because if you're going to play center in the NFL nowadays,
he's undersized.
That kind of worries me.
So was Ben Jones, though. Ben Jones is pretty damn small.
They got rid of him.
Ben Jones was 6'3".
But he wasn't huge. I mean, he was tall, but he wasn't big.
I saw Greg Mance last year during training camp, and I swear I thought that was a fullback or an H-back playing with the offensive line.
See, if think about it in these terms. Let's just say if we could rewind the clock and the Texans had came out of the draft with, say, Ifedi, okay? Fred, I know how you feel about him. Just say they had taken Ifedi and everything else lined up just like it did. You didn't get Will Fuller. But would you have been okay knowing that you got Ifedi and then in the third round you got Braxton Miller, knowing now that you still got a guy that you can kind of count on as a developmental player? Because that's how Will Fuller is.
But it's hard for me to imagine that, knowing that this is a guy that I wouldn't take.
I think Fuller is a little
And you could have got another speed guy later.
Well, I like Josh. If we're going to take a speed guy, I'd rather have Josh Doctson, frankly, the guy who went right behind him.
I think Fuller is a little bit more accomplished of a wide receiver. Braxton Miller is more of a novelty thing as of right now because he only played last year at receiver. don't get me wrong, he has all the potential in the world, but as far as coming in right now and being able to contribute next year, Fuller is a little bit further along than Braxton Miller is
based
at the wide receiver position.
Based on, okay, you think he's more developed coming in? I don't know, man.
He's had more time.
Exactly.
Yeah, in college, yeah, Notre Dame, not in the NFL, and you got these kids, want these kids to play fast, and you. I think we can agree on this point. Rookies can't play fast if they take it all in. So right. Bill O'Brien is going to have to give these rookies a reduced workload. They're not going to be able to handle the full playbook, particularly about that first 4 to 6 weeks of the season. He's only going to be able to put a certain amount on Will Fuller if you want Will Fuller to do what you got him to do, and that's play fast. Because he has to be able to not think things out. He has to just be able to play football
and catch
and
the
react.
Ball.
So it's not going to –
That's important.
Well, that part of it has been great, vastly overrated with the kid, because the kid – you can't ignore his production.
No,
you don't. I know people like to talk about the size of his hands. Jason Braddock, my former co-host, likes to talk about his hands. But I caution you guys with the evaluation of film people, because film guys have a tendency to look at film and base their entire opinion on just the film. And if they don't like what they see on the film, they throw out the production. You can't throw out the production.
Let me caution you on something about film. Some guys who, and it's their job to look at it, some guys really don't know what they're looking for when it comes to certain positions. We talked about this the other day. There's guys that, like, when Lance Lierlein starts talking about an offensive lineman, my ears are going to, I'm going to listen. Sean Salisbury's talking about a quarterback, I'm going to listen. Because they know what they're looking for those positions. They don't know what they're looking for everything. Greg Cosell doesn't know what he's looking for everything.
No.
And so what you're getting is their interpretation. And a lot of these guys, because they're in the media, they're doing the same thing we were talking about earlier. They're trying to get you to – it's like that idiot who whose name escapes me, who was, oh, Cam Newton's a complete joke and stuff like that. They watch
Mike Mayock.
Was it Mayock? No, it wasn't Mayock that did it. It was somebody else. But
Mayock knows.
But
it was Mayock.
Somebody. I thought it was him.
But again, those guys are – trying to get hits, they're trying to get attention to what they do. And the truth is, yeah, they know what they're talking about. They look at a lot of film. Doesn't mean they're looking for the right things.
Yeah, Jason and I agree with you. Jason and I had this discussion because I mean he and I debated on Jalen Strong last year, and it was the same situation. The film doesn't lie, but at the same time, film can lie somewhat, and production can lie somewhat. Sometimes there's a happy medium. You got to kind of find it. And clearly we saw that whatever issues that were with Jalen Strong maybe being overvalued as a first-round pick, I agree with that.
Yeah.
But they were he was not a fifth-round prospect like Jason was saying.
No.
Fifth-round, like, come on,
and
man.
And I remember that article I put out. Me, you and I got into it about that because I was like, I think he's an option with the first-round pick. And you were like, no, he's not.
No, he's
but,
not.
But as a third-round pick, he was perfect.
Yeah, going back to Will Fuller, his catch rate was like 87-88% at Notre Dame throughout his career. So the drop thing is, I think, overvalued.
Yep, caught everything at the combine, too.
Sure did.
Yeah, it's just when you do watch him, you see him catching it to his body.
Yeah.
Which that's what you're concerned about in the NFL, because those windows are smaller, the balls are quicker.
But at the combine, you saw him framing and catching the balls like you're supposed to.
Yeah, at times.
But there's nobody holding it.
Yeah, you Underwear Olympics. Go back and watch his gauntlet drill, you know, during the Underwear Olympics. But he caught hand catching.
The reality is it's a combination of all those things. And and at the same time, you're speculating. You're buying stock, basically. You're guessing.
Mm-hmm.
This is what I think he's going to evolve into. And it doesn't matter. There's so few that you can say, oh, I know this guy's going to be a star. Part of the process.
Absolutely.
Quick break. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz. One more segment. The HD Show with Henry Thomas and Fred Davis is live from Prison Break Tattoos at 7 p.m. tonight. Damn, I'm so jealous. I would love to do a show at a tattoo parlor and get a tattoo done while I'm on air. How awesome would that be?
They already said they're not getting tattoos tonight.
Well, if I'm going, I'm doing that.
It's boring. Come on, Freddie D. Come on, Freddie.
Come on, Henry.
Does Henry have? I know Freddie D's tatted up. Does Henry have any tats?
I think Henry has one.
Okay.
Tat.
Yeah, I know Henry got tats because I
believe
he was at 16.
Touched up, Fred.
I always make a big deal out of Fred having tats, as if having tats made him some type of a superhero. I was like, Fred, is that like okay? I know it feels weird to have guys gawking over tats. You know what I'm saying? But
see, it's like anything, man. I like cool artwork. So, like, if you got really cool artwork,
I love tattoos, man, and don't have a single one.
Now, see, that's how I am, and I want to do it. I've got, I want to get the cover of the first book I wrote, which was a racing book, which was the horse with the holding the card, smoking a cigar. I want to get that, and then maybe a falcon. That's it.
You got to.
We
got to
make this happen. We got to make this happen.
Yeah,
so I need to go get mine touched up and finished. I haven't never gotten it finished.
You could get the falcon like swooping down on the gay snake. Like,
man, I mean, stop! There's no gay snake. There's snake.
Will the guy be in the picture with the gay snake?
Won't, he won't be if the falcon gets
the,
it.
The guy was gay, not the snake. Well, we're assuming that. I'm not sure. Yeah.
Can somebody? We need a film examination of that.
No, we don't.
Jermaine,
the snake was not enjoying it. The snake was being raped.
You don't want any film evaluation on that one, brother.
You don't want to do that. You know, you want to send that to Jason Braddock and let him do it.
No, nah, let him evaluate Jay like it. That, man. Don't do Jay like that. Don't do him like that, man. He don't deserve that, man.
He would not talk to me.
Yeah, that's my boy. He don't deserve that, man.
Well, snake doesn't have good lateral movement. Yeah.
That snake has midget hands.
I think he's a fifth round pick. Yeah.
I agree, Jay.
At best, don't be taking him in the first round. I think we just somehow compared Jalen Strong to the gay snake. Great.
Oh, man.
That's kind of what we did.
I hope not.
I did.
Absolutely.
But I did, just kind of getting back to, I did have some Hoffman on Hollywood stuff that I was going to do.
Falcon on famous people,
but we'll pass because we're having fun here. But the one concern that I have about Texans more than anything else is who's going to play opposite of J.J. Watt. Not that Jared Crick was any good. Frankly, he was a very average player.
Just very average.
But right now, your possibilities are Jeffrey Pagan, who's been a good rotation guy. He's not a guy who's going to hurt you, but I don't see him out there getting three or four sacks. I see him.
Well, neither did Creek, but.
Devon Still, which I think is interesting because we don't really know what he is. He obviously has been dealing with a lot the
last
couple
years. It would be a nice story.
It'd be a great story.
Yeah, great story.
But is, you know, but otherwise, and now I fully anticipate one thing they've done the last 2 years. A defensive tackle when it was Pickett, I guess, 2 years ago, they picked up, who wound up being a really good player for them. They got him late in the process. Quentin Demps last year, late in the process, wind up starting. I would not be surprised if that's a position where there's somebody
only playing left.
Yeah, late in the process, they grab somebody who turns out to be functional.
There's still going to be some guys who may end up getting cut or who may have been hurt last year, not currently under contract that you could look at. But what about Christian Covington?
Well, that was the name I was going to bring up because I know they have him kind of plugged in as Vince Wilfork to rotate with Wilfork, but. Right. I think he fits pretty well as a defensive end in a 3-4.
He can play a 5 technique in spots, and particularly in pass rush situations.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
I don't think you're going to want him as a 5 in run situations. But at the same time, see, he's not really a true 2-gap, 0 technique defensive tackle in terms of the same way that full Wolfolk already is.
Or maybe DJ Reader, too, frankly.
But Reader gets upfield. I mean, he gets upfield more so than Vince Wilfork does at this point in his career.
True.
But I talked to a couple guys about, you know, former players, because I thought that, too, Fred. I was like, you know, what do you think about Covington sliding out, playing in 5? And they just don't feel like he'll be able to do it on a consistent basis. But I think in pass rush situations, that kid has a motor.
Yeah.
And that's my whole thing is because nowadays in NFL, teams are playing so much 3 and 4 wide that you're in a lot of nickel and dime packages. So having him on the field at opposite of JJ in that situation, I think it'll work for him. And I just want to see it, at least try to see what we can get out of it. I shame myself. I said we.
Ah. Well, you've only got like 40 seconds left, so you're good.
Yes.
All right. That's going to wrap it up. Hey, guys, tell them when you're on the air here so they can listen if they like what they heard.
Wednesday nights.
7 to 9
right here on ESPN 97.5. Awesome. Appreciate you guys.
Appreciate you guys filling in.
Yeah, so, man. Thank you. Appreciate you having
good time.
We shall do it again sometime. All right. Tyler, I'm going to give you a solid C+ today.
T!
Well done. All right, guys. Text me at 713-780-3776. Rank your top three favorite guest hosts of the last 2 weeks. Out of these two guys, Jerome, Danny Mata, Lewis, Mike Liebeschock, Barry Laminack. All right, that's going to wrap it up. AJ's back tomorrow. Stay sports, you bitches.
Yeah.
Like that. You made me want to get to know you.
Like that.
Y'all ain't got to go home, but you got to get the hell up out of here.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.